Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are you?
Happy December. The last
happy
month of the year.
December. Why is it? I remember when I didn't used to shop for Christmas until like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's like when
I was that girl
24.
At the mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Not anymore. Did you see all these Spotify things lately? It's like the tell us how special we are Spotify edition right now, which is really fun.
Ew.
So you should go on our Instagram because people are posting and that we're their number one podcast. So
well, if you listen, warm and fuzzy.
I know.
It's as like long as they're not dicks.
No, they're
keep
not.
Keep that to yourself. It's not right. Christmas seasonal.
No, it is not. But thank you all for, if you listen on Spotify, for tagging us and listening and showing us your love. That is real cool. Also, it is a benefit, I think, to listen on Spotify. So you could see like how many minutes you spend on what podcast and music you like and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's much more interactive friendly. Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Spotify is awesome.
So clink, clink to the Spotify.
Yeah. I haven't told you about all my car troubles.
No.
I know you've been dying to hear.
Although I did call you yesterday and your car alarm was going off. Actually, you called me by accident. I answered.
Oh, that's a whole other car troubles.
Your car alarm
my new
was
car,
going
I can't
off.
Figure it out. Sometimes I go to like get in it and my key is in the car. It's just in my garage and the alarm goes off.
That's what was happening like, yesterday, I'm assuming.
I'm like, I didn't even know that it had an alarm.
Yeah,
like,
well,
who? Why do we really need an alarm anymore? It's so stupid.
Dude, the Tesla alarm is crazy bananas. Like, you do not want to break into a Tesla. That alarm goes off like gnarly.
I just don't think car alarms deter anybody.
I don't know if they do either, to be honest with you.
Yeah. They just cause embarrassment for me, really. Post-Thanksgiving, I went camping mm-hmm. in the cold.
She went to Lake Arrowhead, which is like the mountainous area in California. And it snows. All winter there.
It snows, but it doesn't snow. Like you have to go up like a little, like 30 more minutes to get to Big Bear where there's like real snow, but it snows occasionally in Lake Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's lots of beautiful outdoor activities, you know, so we're game to go. And so we went and because we had decided to go so last minute there, we didn't have a lot of options, you know, but so I'm game for camping. Except
always.
Maybe when I am always, except maybe when I felt the funk coming on at like the end of the day.
Oh, before you left.
I had a good day there. But
okay.
Then that night when we got to bed, I actually at the pizza place we had dinner at, I started to be like,
something's
I
not right.
Funk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then, and it's like below 30 degrees at night. So it's real cold. And, you know, I had like the thing where I have to like, my nose starts running and you got to like wedge, like, you know, tissue up there. Like it looks like a tampon's coming out of your nose.
Yeah. I've never done that, but I can imagine it.
Oh, yeah.
And I also do not want to camp in 30 degrees ever. So all of what you
don't
got when
you
going
don't
on,
have a bathroom in an RV, it probably would be fine. But we are not self-contained. And I have the children who have to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom.
No
and
way.
So do I.
No, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. So in the morning, I woke up just like feeling like butt, so hoarse. It was really early. My husband could not get the coffee maker working. So we're like,
we're out of here.
Okay. Yeah. I looked at my daughter in the morning and I'm like, I don't think we're going to stay two nights. She was like, you think?
No.
I'm like, oh.
You're like, you didn't like it that much either, huh?
Yeah. I'm like, oh. But anyways, so we are like, let's just go get some coffee, you know, warm up. At least even if we don't camp when we're not, you know, we'll go enjoy the day. Well, couldn't get the damn car started.
Oh.
Yeah. And we were in my husband's truck because we were towing my trailer.
Yeah.
Wouldn't start.
No.
Wouldn't start. Then would start and then stop. It was a whole, let me tell you, getting a mechanic on a weekend, on a mountain, like holiday weekend, it was a disaster. So we're like, you know, oh my God. And he's just telling me like, if we get this thing going, like
we're out of here.
We're going home. We got to get down the mountain, you know, cause I'm
there
looking
is
at
no
like,
coffee.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, I'm going to have to go get an Uber and like rent a truck to like bring it back up here to like get our trailer. You know, I'm like all these crazy thoughts are going through my head. What I'm going to do. Anyways, we ended up getting the truck working and went straight home. And you know what they said it is?
What?
It's just the biodiesel in cold temperatures.
Oh, it doesn't work?
It don't work.
Okay. Well, I am glad.
Well, I'm like, but I have a diesel. Well, so it's not real. Yes, but here's the thing. You probably don't have biodiesel in all the pumps like we do in California. Because I'm like, well, what about the people in, you know, Minnesota?
Yeah.
That they be driving diesel trucks. And my husband says, yeah, but it's regular diesel outside of California.
Oh, yeah.
We just mix it up here.
Con for California again.
If you're in cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a real con.
Hey, it's raining here right now and it's like 60 something degrees. And all the Texans are like, wow, it's so warm and it's raining. Ooh. For the wintertime, you know, and I was like, this feels like California rain to me. Like everything about it is like California. I'm still in a tennis skirt, tennis shoes and a sweatshirt, and it's raining outside. It's lovely. It usually is only like this in the late spring, but it's not. It's not freezing ass cold yet. So I am saying Texas for the win again.
Well, it's been so chilly here. I am butt pasty and I've got a couple things to go to. So I got a spray tan.
Well,
and I haven't showered yet. So I probably look kind of funky on YouTube.
You don't have our tanning drops.
Or
do you have our tanning drops?
I wish I had our tanning drops, but they are sold out even to me.
So does everybody else.
Then maybe I wouldn't have had to go get a spray tan.
Yes, they are actually coming. I think they'll be shipping out this actual week. So everybody should get it. Even you, Gretchy, could use them. And that's for five crimes if you guys all wanted to know. But we should get to our crime for the day.
Okie dokie. Today's story is that of Dawn and Rebecca Mellon. These two crazy kids were not a match made in heaven. More like a match made in the other place. A couple of very different, but both very broken roads that led them together. The Don Mellon we are talking about today is a junior. His father, Don Sr., was a prominent businessman in the Arizona because he owned a whole bunch of McDonald's franchises.
Oh, so
that is like the way to go, I think.
Right? It really is.
Yeah, you're like pretty, it's a pretty hands-off deal, I think. Anyways, Don Jr. was lucky enough to get himself all grown up and also become the owner of multiple Mickey D franchises himself. Don married his first wife, Karen, when they were young and in love, and that marriage resulted in three children. His daughter speaks really highly about the lifestyle she was brought up in, and her mother both speak really highly of Don, despite Karen expressing that she divorced him because of his issues with alcohol. While him and Karen were going through their divorce is when Don first set eyes on Rebecca. She was new on the Arizona scene and was working at a local club as a dancer. Don was a regular at the establishment called Bourbon Street Circus, which I really like that name for a club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, according to the Arizona Central Press, he had been a regular at the Bourbon Street Circus since about the time Rebecca was in the first grade. Don was 17 years her senior.
Mm-hmm.
He was known at the club as DJ, and that's what Rebecca always called him. Rebecca did not have a privileged background like Don. And I think that factored into how she ended up working as a dancer. No shade if that is your chosen profession, but in the interest of keeping it real, I think we can all agree that more often than not, dancers don't come from two-parent homes with white picket fences most of the time.
Most of the time, no.
Right. And in Rebecca's case, she definitely didn't have an ideal upbringing. She spent most of her childhood in Omaha, Nebraska, where her and her parents didn't really vibe. She describes her parents as hyper-religious. She points to examples like, when they found out she learned the words to the song Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, at school, they were real pissed because they deemed that like devil's music. I think house music is the devil's music personally. Like that is my idea of hell. It makes me
house
so
music?
Crazy. I hate it. You used to drag me to the club in Vegas and we'd have to sit there. No.
I like it.
I do not like it.
I do not like hardcore rap. That is not my jam at all.
I don't really like angry music is what I call it.
Yeah, that's like hardcore rap. And
it's called
headbanging.
The lithium station.
Yeah, that's like the headbanger stuff.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
My husband loves that stuff. Ugh. Yeah. I don't know much about everything that went on in Rebecca's childhood home, but whatever it was, we can assume it wasn't good because she spent a good part of it in the foster care system.
She couldn't listen to Red or Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, I think
weird,
and I'm like speculating on this, okay? Because she says she had extended stays with her parents, but then would be like sent back to group homes.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe she was like running away or being some kind of rebellious. And so they'd like give her up.
Okay.
Take her back.
She was too much for them to handle.
But maybe. That is purely my speculation because I did not read that specifically. That's just kind of what I gathered from what I could piece together.
Okay? Right.
So she spent all this time going back and forth to group homes where she says that she was perpetually assaulted, which is not really hard to imagine. You hear that all the time, right?
Yeah.
When she aged out of the system, she moved into the basement of an abusive boyfriend's mother. She feared for her life in that basement. Her boyfriend would hold a gun to her when she talked about leaving him, but she still managed to sneak out in the night and get herself to Minnesota. She says she was surprised to see snow. because she thought it was a warm state. She was really sheltered.
She really was. I mean, geography was definitely not her strong suit in school.
Worse than yours, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they had her really sheltered. Like, I also read something about, like, she couldn't even watch the Smurfs.
But then it's like the group home situation and, like, giving her up just doesn't...
Yeah, you know, right?
It doesn't, like, all add up together. But, you know, some people are super weird.
Insight from Tab. Okay. So... she checked into a motel and she recalls that the woman that worked at the desk told her, you know, girl, like, if you're looking for warm, you should go to Arizona. She gave her a little geography lesson.
It's true.
And that's exactly what she did eventually. But before that, while in Minnesota, she got herself a job at the Mall of America. Obviously, the coolest thing about Minnesota, I think. Mm-hmm. And she got herself a husband who also worked at the mall. Yeah. The barely legal newlyweds had a son together. According to Rebecca, it ended up being another abusive relationship. I can only imagine how hard it was for them to manage childcare for a newborn on mall employee wages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything just seems, I mean, just from my experience camping, everything seems more stressful when you're cold. I think it's cold all the time in Minnesota. Like, I can't imagine. I would lose it, right?
It's like you have to put so many clothes on, just the like layers that you have to wear, and then having, it's just, it's not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And can you imagine the like electric bill? Like, kill. Okay.
All right.
So to make ends meet, Rebecca started working at strip clubs. She discovered she really had a knack for it because she acquired regular customers who would tip her just so she would sit and listen to them. Not surprisingly, her marriage did not last. When one of her customers gave her $20,000 to go make a life for her and her son in Arizona, she bounced from Minnesota to AZ. Rebecca was 23 now and wasn't in Phoenix very long before she met DJ while she was working at the Bourbon Street Circus. You know, I looked this place up. It looks pretty upscale. It's hard to tell because, you know, there's never like a lot of pictures of inside of a strip club.
No, right? It's still there though, huh?
It's still there. And actually, it is rated as the number one adult entertainment establishment in Phoenix on Yelp, if anyone is looking for something like that.
Okay.
Okay. So when Don met Rebecca, he got her to go out to lunch with him because he told her that he needed a new secretary and she should go work for him. So she's probably thinking, like, that sounds nice. He thinks of me as someone who's really, you know, got it together, you know, that makes a good impression. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know, that's not so much what he was thinking.
Don's a dirtbag. I could just tell.
Listen, that I know it's like weak sauce, but that little manipulation to be like the older man to get her to go out with you under the pretense that I'm going to give you a job really irritates me. And let me tell you why. Because back in my 20s, I had a customer at the Outback who I mentioned I did childcare in addition to, you know, slinging steaks. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I could help him out with his kids over the summer and wanted to take me to dinner. I agreed. It was totally creepy. And when I didn't agree to go back to his place and go in his jacuzzi so we could listen to Sade, I disqualified myself from the childcare position.
Oh, hell to the no.
Listen, by the way, you know, he came back into Outback and he told Mike, the bartender, that he took me to dinner, but he didn't fuck me because I had the flattest ass he'd ever seen.
Oh, my God. Who is this douche? Do I know who he is?
I wish I remember. I wish I remembered his name, but I don't. And I do have a pancake butt, okay? But there was never a single moment that I considered anything of the sorts with that dude.
You're like, you know? I never was ever going to, you F face.
Ever. Yeah. Right? I was just always looking to make extra money.
Also, was he married?
No, he was. No. He was divorced. That's why the wife had the, I mean, so he says, right?
Yeah, who knows?
But anyways, so, you know, I...
And thanks, Mike the bartender, for telling you that. What an asshole.
Mike the bartender was a dick. He laughed about the whole thing. Yeah, he was kind of a dick. And sorry, Mike. I mean, maybe you're better now.
Not sorry.
I don't know. Sorry, not sorry. Okay. But, you know, when that guy came back in, I shouldn't have, like, avoided him and been embarrassed about the whole thing. I should have, like, told him off.
Yeah.
Should have been like, what are you thinking? Like, using your children as bait?
Yeah,
you know?
Gross.
Totally gross. And since I didn't do it then, I don't know your name. But if you are the old creepy dude who was hanging out at Outback circa 2003 with a maroon PT Cruiser, fuck yourself. Okay? You know who you are.
I think I do remember now.
Yes, he was a creep.
And he for sure is listening, by the way.
For sure. Somebody tell him, okay? And remember, we actually thought PT Cruisers were cool. I think we like went out to the parking lot to like check it out.
Oh, that was right when they first
It was
came
like
out.
A new. Yeah, it was like right when they first came out. Yeah.
And it was in 2003, by the way. I think it was like more like 2001 or 2000.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. 2000-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, enough about me. When Dawn told Rebecca the whole secretary job wasn't going to really happen, she started dating him.
Oh.
She moved in with him right away and they got married and tattooed. Oh. Yeah. I guess they had multiple matching tattoos, but Dawn also had Rebecca tattooed across his stomach, like thug lifestyle, you know, the big text.
Sexy.
And I know, right? And Rebecca had DJ's Playhouse tattooed above her couch.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. But this isn't it. Rebecca says it took about 6 months for Don's jealousy issues to come out. Mm-hmm. She tried to accommodate him. For example, he wanted her to quit working at the club. And so she did. But when she found other jobs at like restaurants or retail, he found problems with those two and would show up and make a scene that would either result in her being fired or quitting. Dawn became physically abusive. This is indisputable. It's on tape. A lot of tapes. Dawn had a thing for surveillance cameras, which I will circle back to. At this point, I just want to take a second to point out Rebecca's pattern of jumping from abuser to abuser is so typical, right? Part of like battered women's cycle is confusing familiarity with love, which is why abuse becomes really a magnetic force in their struggle to detach from it, you know?
Yeah.
It really sucks, obviously, for her, but I also her young son, remember? She's got him with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only child that was involved in this dysfunctional picture. Remember, Dawn had three kids. One of his daughters gave an interview and describes thinking Rebecca was really fun when she met her. Dawn's ex-wife, not and still isn't a fan. She's got some beef, some that sounds logical and some that doesn't. Ex-wife Karen says that Rebecca took her daughters out egging houses. I mean, it's not good to promote vandalism with the youth, right? Stick to toilet paper if you must. She also says the amount of alcohol they consumed was extra. I get that as a concerned parent, sure. Mm-hmm. But what a much worse offense of Rebecca's is that she says Rebecca showed her daughters a photo of her performing oral on their daddy.
Oh,
and that
God,
is that is real
please.
Offensive. Yeah. Yeah. So I am with the ex-wife on that. But I still have a lot of issues with her because she blames Rebecca for Dawn being abusive. She says that when which her and Don were married, he never laid a hand on her, and that Rebecca antagonized Don to the point that he became physical with her. She says from the moment they met, he became this DJ character, you know, like Rebecca called him. And, you know, just to dissect her point of view a little, I mean, it is possible that Rebecca antagonized Don. I mean, I've seen that. You've seen that. It absolutely, you know, it absolutely happens in toxic relationships. You know, that whole cycle is a mess. But just to be clear, it doesn't matter how antagonistic someone is. You don't get to abuse them. You just don't, you know? Yeah. You can leave. Yeah. So there's a video where Don drags Rebecca by the legs and throws her into the pool after he kicks the cat. There's a video of him hitting her and then dumping a bottle of water on her. It was so humiliating. And those kind of incidents went on for years, apparently. In the last year of Don and Rebecca's 7-year marriage, the police were called to the house 21 times for domestic abuse. On one occasion when Don was arrested, it says in the police report, Rebecca told officers, "You have no idea what you did to me. He's going to kill me now." She says that her fear of him killing her had recently escalated because the latest threat he had for her was that he was this close to calling a hitman. He said that he knew a guy that would make it look like a robbery and then he could be done with her. On the evening of July 31st, 2012, Rebecca's son was away at a sleepover, thankfully. Don was in the living room and made a call to one of his daughters, asking her to call him back. But before the call ends, you hear him say on the voicemail, "Hey, what the fuck?" And then there's a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rebecca was the shooter.
Oh.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of 5-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors?
It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help, except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The incident was not just caught on voicemail. It was also caught on the surveillance cameras in the house. Yeah.
That's what I would have thought. Right.
Yeah. So she shot Don a single time on the side of the head and then he collapsed. And then she sat down in close proximity to him and smoked a cigarette. After 16 minutes of her just sitting there smoking, Don appears to try to get up. And then he collapses again. 23 minutes after the shot was fired, Rebecca called 911. In the call to 911, she is obviously intoxicated. She is slurring her speech and she doesn't really sound panicked. She sounds like a Kardashian.
She says, she's not panicked. She just sat there and smoked a cigarette next to his body because she's like, fuck you, motherfucker. I'm done with you.
This is what she sounds like. She's like, hi, come over. My husband is bleeding. And the dispatcher is like, what happened? And she's like, I don't know. Are you coming? He's bleeding. Like, I'm not exaggerating. That's how she talks. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like not going to work for her in the future, that the tone of her phone call.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
An ambulance arrived and Don was pronounced dead. a short time later, and Rebecca was arrested that night. She repeatedly fell asleep in police custody. She was just a mess, but she was coherent enough to say that she doesn't remember what happened, and she still doesn't.
Was she just on alcohol, or was she on more than that?
Yes.
Just alcohol?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is not, I'm not justifying it or anything, but I mean, they were known to drink a lot, like they started early. They drank a lot, like fists of alcohol every day, you know?
Okay.
Well, when the news first broke about the story, it was like, you know, young wife murders husband, waits 23 minutes to call police. And when the tape is played, you know, of her 911 call, I mean, it sounds like pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it kind of plays out like gold digger, you know, wife kills husband, you know, like that whole scene.
Yeah.
Well, a notorious attorney in the area came to Rebecca's defense by the name of Jennifer Wilmot, who is mostly known for being Jodi Arias's.
Jodi Arias's
attorney.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like she was all revved up to take it to trial. She sent Rebecca to a psychologist who diagnosed her with battered women syndrome, and she reviewed all the surveillance video from the house, which shows, you know, clear-cut, unprovoked incidents of Dawn's violence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what she was up against was that 911 call and the video of Rebecca smoking while Dawn bled out for 23 minutes. And by the way, Rebecca told police in her interview that she didn't know what happened, but she called right away. So, you know, it's like,
no, and like,
does
not,
she remember? I think she remembers.
You do?
I think she was completely intoxicated, no doubt, but I think she remembers what happened.
What happened like right before that? Did he hit her, or was there anything on the camera where?
No, like, they weren't even in the same room.
Like, I wonder what drove her to that, or if she had been thinking about it for a long time and then finally like caught the courage, like the liquid courage, you know, they say.
Well, she kind of says it's because of she was afraid that he was. So all of the surveillance videos that are played in the house, there's no audio to it.
Mm-hmm, it's just
right.
Video.
So we don't know what was said between them earlier in the day.
Okay.
But she has this thing about, which to, you know, Dawn's family's defense, they say it's total crap, but she says that he was going to call a hitman. And so, you know, it's possible that she interpreted him being on the phone with his daughter as he's making the call.
Okay.
And that's when she walked, you know. Yeah, it's
a good defense for her, I guess.
Yeah. It is a defense. It's hard to defend, you know, shooting someone when it's not self-defense, like in the moment, right?
Did she know there was surveillance in the house?
They were all over the house and the backyard.
Why was he so worried?
I think she was so intoxicated. Well, his ex-wife says that he was worried she was going to kill him, which if you've seen the tape of him handling her, like she doesn't even fight
She's
back.
She's a tiny little like dancer girl. She's like, not going to be. No, she. What does this ex-wife have? Like she's still manipulated by him from the grave.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we kind of see that. We see that, you know,
of course,
people
yes,
don't
but...
want to. And I don't really I do feel for them because they experience trauma and loss and, you know,
right.
all of that.
And he has
and
kids
I don't
want to
judge
woman,
their
so,
behavior.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I think sometimes it's just really hard for people to recognize. I think a lot of times people think if they admit something about someone, that they're somehow not the same person that they love.
Right.
And, you know, you can do both things.
True.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so I think it was a crapshoot whether or not a jury would sympathize with Rebecca, right? she was facing the rest of her life locked up away from her son if they didn't. So Rebecca pled guilty to second degree murder and took a 20-year sentence.
That was smart.
Yeah. I found a couple of things really difficult about this case. One is in all the headlines, you know, it's like stripper wife cold-blooded kills the husband. You know, first of all, she hadn't been stripping for like a minute, right? So that's like them printing, you know, Outback server wife does something awful if either one of us like committed an offense.
It's these,
which obviously we would never.
Clickbait.
It's like crazy. And I told you, Dawn was a regular patron. How come it's such a double standard? How come it's never like strip our customer? You know, like whatever. Like, I mean, what is I'm not
douchebag,
judging either one, but like what is worth being
wife,
a regular customer
abuser.
or making a living?
Hey, listen, this is what
I think they're both the same, like the same.
This is what it
I don't care
said.
Which one you do.
It should have said douchebag Don, wife beater, gets killed by his abusive wife, who may or may not have been a stripper in the past. I don't know. I mean, want to throw that in there too?
So.
Fine.
No.
But it's hard. I think abuse is awful, and it is. I think we have a big, big, big problem in this country and probably other countries as well. But I know more about it in the United States. But, you know, psychologically being abused puts crazy shit in your head, right? And
yeah.
I think that sometimes you just can't take it anymore and you snap.
Yeah, I think she snapped.
And she snapped. Yeah. And yeah, she smoked a cigarette and she sat by him probably thinking like, that's the last time you're going to hurt me.
Yeah. And I'm not justifying that. But I think the other difficult part of this case is Don's family, you know, playing the blame game and justifying like his violence against her. Like that is
that
makes
okay.
me just like cringe so much. I don't think that serves anyone, you know?
It doesn't.
And, you know, it's also difficult to think about the fact that her poor son like witnessed all of this.
It's
and now
awful.
He's, you know, on his own. I mean, I don't know how he deals with it.
Hey, when
I did
what
some
year
web
was this?
Sleuthing. 2012.
Okay, so she's gonna be out. She's probably already
2032.
Out.
No, 2032.
Why 32? No, she'll be out soon.
Sentence.
Yeah, but she'll be out soon.
Okay. Well, I just, I looked her up today.
When is her parole
so,
date?
She doesn't have parole. It just says 20 years to expected release date is 2032.
She'll get out sooner.
Okay. But she's already been in there for a minute.
Yeah. 10
listen,
years.
I'm fine with her being released now.
11. Going on 12 years.
12.
Yeah.
Through some web sleuthing, I found her son on social media. And it does appear, you know, that he has a lot of support. There was a GoFundMe page, which is no longer like donatable for his mother's clemency petition, which he had shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, I hope he's like in touch with her and everything.
Yeah.
It appears so. As for Rebecca, she is at the women's prison in Goodyear, Arizona, mm-hmm. and will, which is like, I mean, I've driven by this prison multiple times, and I think this is like the fourth person we've covered that's at that prison.
Do you want to stop by and
I want to know
say
if
hi
friends.
To all of them?
Yeah,
you should.
One of these days, right? Okay. Well, so she will. Her scheduled release tab is 2032, so we'll see. Okay, on the upside for her, she was bleach blonde before she went in. You know, I say that is what will keep me out, right?
Yes.
Like I don't
know, mousy
brown hair does not work for me. I cannot be going to prison.
No.
No. Okay, but it is working for Rebecca. I think she looks better.
Well, sometimes that bleach blonde does not work well with everybody's skin tone. So I agree that sometimes the darker hair, what color is it? It's like dark brown.
Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a darker coat. She has like a olive complexion.
Yeah,
now.
That works. That works. And what color eyes?
I can't recall. Okay. I mean, I think they were light. But
yeah, dark hair, light eyes, it always works.
Yeah. Okay. So I looked up her records, right? Mm-hmm. Saw her most recent mugshot. She had like 20 something infractions.
Oh, that's a lot.
2007. Yeah, it is.
Yes, since 2017,
she entered. Yeah. They are listed as minor.
Like
but
what?
Let me tell you. Well, it doesn't say exactly what they are. Okay. It just says discipline, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's all I could get offline. You can look it up for yourself.
Sometimes
it's Arizona page of corrections.
It just depends on what prison it is, but some of them actually tell you what they've done. Some of them don't tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
It's all state by state. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love it when they tell you everything. Okay, so in her latest mugshot, she's got a full beat. Okay, so I'm thinking that the infractions have something to do with cosmetics contraband.
Right? She has a full what?
You know how they say a full beat, like it's a full face of makeup, full face tab, okay. All kinds of makeup on.
Okay,
Glamazon.
How?
I'm telling you, I'm thinking that's why she's getting the infractions, because she is getting the cosmetics snuck into her.
That probably
because
is.
I have watched all those shows. I know how they do with the, you know,
pen,
the magazines,
on the eye.
Yeah, and the pencil and everything. No, this is not that. This is good. Otherwise,
makeup.
When she gets out, she needs to start a TikTok about how to
prison
makeup, because I think she can make a lot of money.
Okay. So I would be like, I would want that makeup too. I would be getting the infractions also. Because if you can't get Botox and you can't get your hair done, then you have to use some sort of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And the lighting, I'm sure, sucks real bad in that.
She's got a nice smile. No, it's really like one of the best mugs I've seen.
Okay.
So what do we think? What do we think about the sentence, the whole thing?
I think she was smart for taking a plea deal, because she probably would have got life otherwise. Because even, you know, I think we've covered a case before where a woman was a sex worker and she killed the guy. Remember, she like reached over and killed him after he was doing something to her. Abusing her, and she got life in prison. And it's like, dude, she was just, I think she was self-defense. But, you know, I don't think people are going to buy the cigarette smoking.
Well, I think that is interesting. Yeah. Because the judge in this case really like read her the Riot Act,
mm-hmm.
like at the end, even though you take a plea, like the judge actually hands you your sentence, you know? And she like went off on her about sitting there for, you know, 23
and
minutes.
And it was a woman,
blah, blah,
judge?
Blah. And here's the thing I think about going up against a jury. If your defense is going to be something along the lines of, you know, you were perpetually abused, is in all those jury questionnaires, they're going to say,
have you been abused?
Were you abused?
Yeah.
Have you been close to someone abused? And if you haven't been, you likely don't get it.
Oh, right.
So you're not going to sympathize. 100%. So that defense is not going to work.
I have talked to plenty of people and one very close person to me that has never been around people that have been abused or abused, or like, it's just, it hasn't even been.
So they think.
Oh, 100%. But they don't know. Right. So they have no personal experience with it. And when I explain how somebody could feel after they're abused, or how they could keep going back to that person, they don't get it. Like, they're like, that just doesn't happen. Or, for instance, I know of a really abusive ex-husband that was totally manipulating, and he is the nicest guy in the world to everybody else. And people are like, it couldn't happen. He could never be like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, you just don't know. And I know it can happen. I mean, I've seen it with my very own eyes.
You know, in the wise words of Christina Ricci, who is like one of the few people who spoke up after the Danny Masterson conviction.
Yeah. Yes, she did.
There are lots of guys that, you know, we can know and love that we've been friends with forever that have done really bad things.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. And you do not know what goes on behind closed doors, you know?
100%.
So I think it's a bad situation that turned worse.
And, it's just really sad. Yeah.
You know, that guy obviously didn't deserve to die, but he also should not have been abusing anybody ever.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're going to say that she antagonized him to hit her, I mean, couldn't you say like he antagonized her to shoot him?
Kill him? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't want to say either one.
No, but yeah.
But right. But if you are going to say that.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, it does.
Crazy. I didn't tell you this. It is my daughter's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kyla Kane.
Yes. And
I feel like you were just born a minute ago.
Oh my God, girl.
I was sick. I couldn't see you at the hospital. I was so sad.
14 years ago. It's so bananas. But okay, I told you guys that she's loving this ghost hunting, right? So she's mm-hmm. talked me in to taking her to a haunted hotel. Did I tell you this yet?
Yes.
I got the room. I got the most haunted room, has the most activity in the whole entire room. Okay. And so I'm doing that.
I bet you'll sleep. No, I think you could sleep through anything.
Oh, okay. So funny that you say that because I did think about that, but I am scared shitless to do this, by the way. The hotel, it's a bed and breakfast, and on the website, it says no longer serving breakfast. So it's just a bed. And it is nothing. I mean, it is 8 bedrooms. I have no idea where it is in downtown Fort Worth. It doesn't look fancy by any stretch of the imagination, but we are solely going there to ghost hunt. Okay. And people think because we do true crime that we're like into this paranormal stuff too, but it is totally different. So this is very out of my comfort zone.
We're not into paranormal shit and we're not into like gory TV.
No.
Like Walking
no.
Dead.
Walking Dead, like no. No. Okay. My daughter likes all of that. Okay.
She's opposite.
I'm going ghost hunting in the middle of the night at some random freaking hotel. Okay. So on top of that, she needs ghost hunting equipment. So my husband bought something and I thought it was some. I opened this package today and it looks like a recorder from like 1993. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I thought it was some sort of bomb, right? Because it was, I'm like, who is sending this random package to us? And so I sent him a picture and I was like, what the F is this? And he's like, oh, it's Kyla's ghost hunting birthday present.
I'm like,
1993. It's old. Okay. So then I look up the guy's name who sent it because I'm like, who sends this old equipment that looks very strange to me? And it's a guy from a show, like a famous ghost hunter.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. So I'm going to, that was when I was walking out. When I was walking out to do this podcast, I sent him the text and he sent it back to me and I looked him up and I was like, is this the guy you got it from? He's on this show. He was like, yeah, that's him. I don't know, but I will give you an update on Patreon next
week.
Good
for him. He's side hustling his equipment.
Yes, he is.
We're side hustling our skin regimens.
Totally true. But I'll give you an update on Patreon. Also, all of our Patreon listeners are getting something special for Christmas. So if you want in on the action, go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime or follow us on Apple, Clink Clink Club, or Spotify. And you'll get a little Christmas treat from the two of us.
I know you're going to have your kids home with you over the break. You're going to have a lot of stuff to be doing. And now is a great time to join Patreon or subscribe, catch up on old episodes. The one this week, I liked it.
I liked it too. It came out today. We're recording on the
30th.
Game show crimes. I am so proud of you for hustling our Patreon right now. This is so out of Gretchen's comfort zone. I am like, my heart.
Well, you generally do it enough for me. Yeah. And everyone else.
My heart is so full. Also, we have merch, you guys. So Christmas presents, go to housewivesoftruecrime.com, click on the merch link. And we have sweatshirts and some hats, and I promise you, you'll love them. They're super, super comfy, and they just got shipped out today. So all of you that ordered before, so you should be getting them any day. I think that's all for this Monday's episode. So hopefully you guys all have a really, really lovely week, and you're getting all of your shopping done for all of your Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever else you want to celebrate. Okay. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.